Bibles to the book of John as a starting place today. John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I don't know about you, but whenever the devil gets to bugging me, and I just try not to pay any attention to him. And if I can't block him out, I just pick up a Bible and I go in there and I look and I start to count my blessings. As I start to count those blessings and start to meditate and dwell on what Jesus Christ has done for me. What the devil wants to do is dwell on what people have done to you instead of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you don't have to be a preacher to get your mind occupied on what people have done and be troubled by it. We all have that same problem. You get your mind on what people think about you and what they do to you and how they treat you and this and that and the other thing. And man, you do that and you're going to soon lose your joy. You're going to lose your happiness, and it'll go in a hurry because as one man said, people are not like you, they're not like you, like you think they are. They're like we are. they're not thinking about us. They're not thinking about, they're only thinking about themselves. You know, it's a sad testimony, but if we're honest, we have to admit that we spend most of our time thinking about ourselves. So, that being the case, why would you expect everybody else in the world to be different than that? All right? They're not concerned about your feelings or your needs or what you have to have. They're concerned about themselves. And the reason they treat you like they do is because you're thinking about yourself and they're thinking about themselves. And the thing is, that thing just can't work out to the mutual benefit or betterment of one or the other. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in him, we have somebody who did think about us. He cared more about you and me than he did about himself. As a matter of fact, the psalmist said in Psalm number 8, verse number 8, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" I can understand myself being occupied with thinking about God. I've got plenty of reasons, every reason to keep my mind on the Lord. But it's hard for me to understand why Almighty God would keep his mind on me. But he does. The Bible says he does, and I thank him for that. What I want to do today, and there may be some that I've missed, I'm sure there is. These are just the ones that came to my mind this week. But I want to show you in the book of John 9 gifts that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be better than any Christmas Eve or Christmas morning you ever had in your life, these gifts. Going and opening up a package under the tree, you might think that's good, but look what Jesus gave us. These are 9 wonderful gifts that you and I have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ if we're saved today and we know him. First of all, in John chapter 4, you know the story here. This is Jesus, and he's come to Jacob's well, and he sat down there, and there's a half-breed Samaritan woman there. She's drawing water up out of the well, and the Jews, they don't have any dealings or any fellowship with the Samaritans because they're not a pure line and a pure lineage there. But Jesus said to her in verse number 7, John chapter 4, verse 7, "Give me to drink." And the woman asked him in verse number 9, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. Let's pray before we go on. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. I pray you'd help me, Lord, take my tongue and do with it what you will, that you might be glorified today as we remind ourselves of the wonderful gifts that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so Jesus said, thou wouldest asked him, and he would have given thee living water. So one day I was coming along through life, and there wasn't any reason at all for Jesus to have anything to do with me, but he stopped. He stopped. He settled down. He sat down right there in the place where I was living, and I wasn't even interested in having any conversation with the Lord, any fellowship with the Lord, but he began to speak to me through his word. I was amazed. I was just speechless that he would want to have something to do with me and have something to say to me. And you know, I was like everybody else that's not saved. The first thing that went through my mind is, well, I better get away from God, or he's going to ask something from me, or he's going to want me to do this or do that or do the other thing or keep those commandments. But you know something? He didn't want to get something from me. He didn't want to get me to do something for him. He wanted to give me something. He desired to give me, to impart to me a wonderful gift. And, you know, way back a long time ago now, it's been over 33 years for me now, I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked him to be my Savior. And you know something? He gave me what he gave this woman at the well. He gave me living water. He gave me a drink of water that was so satisfying, that was so thirst-quenching that I never thirsted again. You know, going along through life, and I speak for all of us here because we're all the same way. Boy, we want to try this, we want to try that, do this, do the other thing. And you know something? Whatever it was, it never did satisfy. Somebody told you, come out here and drink. It'll take care of it. It didn't take care of it. It just made you want more. So they said, well, you ought to try these drugs that we've got here. Boy, they'll really turn you on. They'll really get you going. And you tried that, and you know what? It didn't satisfy. It just left you wanting more. They offered you this, they offered you that, and then they offered you the other thing. And you know something? That day I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trusted him as my personal Savior, and he gave me that long, refreshing drink of salvation and the Holy Spirit. And you know something? From that day forward, I'm telling you the honest truth, I have never looked for the source of satisfaction in life ever again. I found it right there and then. Now, I may have looked for a new job. I may have looked for this or that and the other thing, but I'll tell you something, for something to satisfy my soul, for something to make my life worth living, for a reason to get up in the morning and to go through the day, my search for a satisfying drink ended that very day. That was all the searching. It was all done right there that day. And you know something? That woman of Samaria, a preacher didn't have to go and knock on her door and a follow-up visit 10 times to try and get her to read the Bible. He didn't have to come and prod her and try and encourage her and twist her arm and teach her a course in Bible studies, how to tell people about the Lord. Let me tell you something. She left her water pot. She left that well. She went running down into that city, and she proclaimed the Messiah had come to those people, in so much that they came down. The Bible says some believed when they heard her word. Others came and they had to see for themselves. They had to hear it from his mouth. But I'll tell you something. What she got was real and satisfying, and it moved her to open her mouth and tell people about Jesus. Amen. Now, you can argue with me all day long if you want to, but I'm just going to stand my ground. If you don't like it, I guess you can join the ranks of those that got mad and walked off and joined another church. But I'm telling you right now, I got a question whether or not you've ever met the Savior that this woman at the well met, if you haven't been running this week and telling people about Jesus. I question if you ever had a drink of that living water. I tell you, it's not a matter of the preacher talking you into it or stirring you up or deciding if you want to go or don't want to go or scheduling a time in the week where you can do it. She didn't do any of those things. She met somebody after long years of searching for satisfaction, had met somebody, had met the desires of her soul. She knew it and went and told it. So the first gift I see is the wonderful gift of living water. Jesus said in verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know something? There are a lot of ex-Baptists, ex-Methodists, ex-Presbyterians, ex-Catholics that have become Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Moonies, and all that kind of stuff, cults. But I've never heard of an ex-born-again Christian that ever belonged to a cult. And you know why? Because once you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the end of your search. You quit looking, you quit hunting, and you might not know the Bible as well as you ought to. You might not walk with the Lord as well as you ought to. But once you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never become a Jehovah's Witness. You will never become a Mormon. You will never become a Christian Scientist. You just name your favorite cult. You will never become part of that because the longing of your soul has been met and has been satisfied, and it's done searching. Amen. You just mark it down. That's all in the past. Now in John chapter number 6, here's the next wonderful gift. Well, they had a hard time with this one too. John chapter 6, verse number 48. And we'll read verse 48 to 51. Jesus says here, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The next thing I read in my Bible, the next gift I find in the book of John, a gift from Jesus Christ, is the gift of his flesh. Okay, the gift of his flesh. Now, I don't mean to suggest, that as Satan has twisted the scriptures and done, I don't mean to suggest that Jesus Christ has given you the opportunity to come every day or every week or every month or every year and eat a piece of bread. I don't mean that. The Bible doesn't mean that. Jesus didn't mean that. I mean that Jesus Christ has given his flesh so that I might have life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 11 there says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Jesus Christ didn't come into this world and give me the opportunity of partaking in a continuous religious ceremony. He came into this world and gave his flesh. He gave his body a sacrificial payment for my sins. And the giving of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for me to have life. It's the only thing that made that possible. Now listen, if I've received the body of Jesus Christ as an offering, as a payment for my sins, you know what that means? That means I do not have to offer my body as a sacrificial payment for my sins. Meaning, I don't have to be burned at the stake or my body be, or have to die of torture or this or that or the other thing, but though it might happen. what that means is if I give my body to be baptized, if I give my hand to knock on doors, if I give my mouth to preach the gospel, if I give my eyes to read the Bible, if I give my hands to make money to give to the Lord's work, none of those things could ever wash my sins away. No matter what I do with my body, no matter how long and how diligently and how faithfully I sacrificially give up the strength of my flesh, no matter how faithfully I give my body to the service of God, that could never pay for my sins. But oh, what a wonderful gift I've been given. Jesus Christ gave me his body because he knew that I needed life and I couldn't find it in myself. He gave that body to be offered as a sin payment on the cross for my sins. That's a wonderful gift. You know that? I have been given by God a sacrificial payment for my sins in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you get reading back there in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham is going out and Isaac is going out, and they got the knife, they got the wood, they got the fire, they got everything they need to offer that sacrifice, that offering to God there on Mount Moriah. And the boy, he looks around and he says, "Daddy, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got all this stuff we need." He said, "But where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said to his son, "God shall provide himself a sacrifice. God shall provide himself a sacrifice." And then John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming down there to the River Jordan. And what did he say? "Behold, the Lamb of God." Okay, don't you know, you know what a lamb is in the Bible? That lamb is a sacrificial offering. Okay, it's an innocent victim that sheds its blood to pay for the guilty transgressor. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All those lambs offered on those Jewish altars, they could never take away sin. Do you know what I've been given by God? I have been given a sacrificial payment for my sin. That once for all, finally and forever, that took care of my blood guiltiness before God. That's a wonderful gift. Wonderful gift. I tell you something, if there was 10,000 people in a church and it was you who led all of them to Jesus Christ and you have not received the sacrificial payment of Jesus Christ for your sins, you wouldn't have the best gift. Amen. If somebody gave you a new home and a new car and some doctor gave you a brand new clean bill of health, or somebody gave you the best job in the world, or a man gave you the best daughter that ever lived to be the best wife that anybody ever had, if you had the best pastor of the best church and the best people, and you didn't have the body of Jesus Christ as your personal payment, you wouldn't have anything that would last beyond the grave. I tell you something, if you've been given the gift of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given a wonderful, wonderful gift. Look at John chapter 10. And I've already said this, it's hard not to get ahead of yourself sometimes talking about something like this, but look what Jesus says here. Not only did he give his body, but Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ was God. That's who he was, manifest in the flesh. The body of flesh was not God the Son. Okay? God the Son was dwelling in that body of flesh. All right? So listen real carefully, please. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't hear the wrong thing here. And don't let the devil twist the thing around so that you misunderstand. Listen real carefully. Jesus Christ, the Word, the second member of the Godhead, God the Son, he existed before a body was formed in Mary's womb. God the Son came to dwell in that body. Amen. He was outside of that body. He came to dwell in that body. Now, do you know what he could have done? And this is what the heretics actually teach. This is called Doceticism. This was being taught in the first century. They teach that the Christ, the God who was manifest in the flesh, they teach that he left that body when it was nailed to the cross, and only the body died on the cross. Okay? Jesus said, I give my body, my flesh, John chapter 6. He said, I give my life, John chapter 10. And you know something? I am going to live long after I leave this body. And Jesus Christ was alive long before he came into that body. Now, you know something? If I died dead in trespasses and sins, do you know where my soul would go? It would go to hell. That's called the second death. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he had just sent a body down there to go to the cross, all that would take care of would be the first death. It wouldn't take care of the second death. He had to take care of that first death, and he had to take care of that second death. So the body died, and they laid that body in the tomb. And then, lo and behold, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ went to hell. And do you know why he went to hell? Psalm chapter 16 and Acts chapter 2. Because that's where you would go if you die in your sins. He died with your sins on him. And if he didn't go to hell to pay for those sins, they're not paid for. Because that's the payment. That's the payment. Now, let me tell you something. If I saw a car coming down the road and it was heading toward you, and I went out there and I pushed you out of the way, and that car ran over me and I died, and you stayed alive, you know what I did? I saved you from the first death. I gave my body to save you from the first death. But you're still facing the second death. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He took care of the first death on the cross. He took care of that second death in hell. And if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the absolute assurance of eternal, everlasting life. The first and the second death, both taken care of. That's something to praise God for. You know that? if they found a cure for cancer, all that would do is prolong the first death a little while. They got these guys now, when they die, they put them in a freezer. So when they come up with a cure for death, they can thaw them out and they can keep going, they think. Got news for you, you're not going to get thawed out until you wake up in the lake of fire. You better have more than the hope that some doctor is going to thaw you out someday. Let me tell you something. They can freeze me. They can cook me. They can bury me. I don't care what they do. The first death, the death of the body, Jesus took care of it. The second death, the death of the soul, Jesus took care of that. I'm saved. And that's a gift of God, a wonderful gift. You know, there's only one man in all the Bible that Jesus said was a picture of what he was going to accomplish. And that was Jonah. Jonah's body was dead in that whale. You know that? His soul was down there in hell below the foundation of the mountains in the heart of the earth. Read it. Jonah chapter 2. And you know what? He came up out of hell. He got back into his body, and his body came up out of that tomb, that whale, that he was in for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus said, that's the only picture you're going to get. Jesus, his body was dead in the tomb. His soul was down there in hell. He came out of hell. He picked up his body on the way out, and out he came. Brother, with the promise of everlasting life to all who believe, I've received some wonderful gifts from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what the devil's given you. I don't know what the world has given you. But if it isn't as good as that, you better come to Jesus. Amen. Well, I tell you, those are some wonderful gifts. And they're free. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know these verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, in John chapter 10, we have another of these gifts, and it's in verse 27, John 10, 27. The Bible says, "There, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'll just say this again, and you're probably sick and tired of hearing me say it. I've said it so long now, so many times, but you know something? Any man who believes that he can lose his salvation either does not have salvation or does not know what salvation is. That's all there is to it. If Jesus Christ has paid for my sins in his body, if Jesus Christ has gone to hell and he's taken care of the first and the second death, and he's given me life, he's given me forgiveness of sins, I ask you, how can you possibly lose that? You say, well, if you sin after, well, after what? What are you going to say? If you sin after you get saved? No, if you're honest, you have to say, if you sin after Christ went to the cross, what is he going to do? Get back up on the cross to pay for the sin that came after you called on him? He went to the cross, the Bible says, one time. He paid for all the sins that one time. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus said, it doesn't matter what you think, and I'm not insulting you unless you want to call Jesus a liar, then I'll just have to hurt your feelings because he's not a liar. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life." Isn't that what he said? He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He said, "I have everlasting life. I'll never perish." Amen. Let me show you what you're going to hear out there when you witness, especially if you witness to people who go to church. People, they're going to say, "Well, I just think you're wrong, brother, teaching this business of once saved, always saved. I think you can lose it." You'll say, "All right, tell me what you would have to do to lose it." And they'll say, "Well, if you sin." And you say, "Okay, well, have you sinned this week?" And they're going to say, "Well, I've made mistakes." Well, search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Show me mistakes. And they'll say, "Well, you know, I've made some errors." Okay, well, have you read in Leviticus 3 and 4 where blood had to be shed to cleanse the people from their errors? They'll say, not the sins that you commit in ignorance, though. Well, haven't you read Leviticus where blood had to be shed for sins committed in ignorance? Okay, see, God doesn't care if you meant it or not. If you knew about it or not, if you call it an error, you call it a mistake, and they'll say, "Well, you have to continue in sin for it to be an actual sin." See, okay, well, how if that's true, and it's just coming from your own brain, if that's true, how long and how far do you have to continue? Okay, and then you just take that person to John chapter 10, show them what the Bible says, and ask them, do you believe Jesus? Yeah, I believe Jesus. You don't think he'd lie, do you? No, I don't think he'd lie. Okay, read it. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. Now, when you come to Jesus, what did he give you? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Okay, sir, can you perish? And they'll say, well, if you don't endure to the end. Well, let's read it again. You read it again. They shall never perish. You say, sir, can you ever perish? Well, if you backslide far enough, let's read it again. They shall never perish. Sir, can you ever perish? Well, if you deny the Lord, I'm telling you, you will go back and forth like that for 30 minutes and keep reading that verse over and over and over again. Your witnessing partners are there. They're going to be praying the whole time that God would open the eyes of their understanding. And that person will probably walk away after all of that and never see it. There's a blindness there. You know why? Jesus said, if you make the word of God of none effect, he said, you make the word of God of none effect by the traditions of your elders and your fathers. Amen. And in effect, you know what they're doing. They're standing there for 30 minutes telling you that Jesus is a liar. I believe Jesus, don't you? And you know what he gave me? I don't know what he gave you. He might have given you baptism and sacraments and membership and tithing and church service, but you know what he gave me? He gave me eternal life, and I'll never perish, never perish. I tell you, I'm happy about being saved. Amen. And then you probably got people, you got people that say, well, I don't believe that once saved, always saved that you preach. Why, if I believed that, I'd go out there and get drunk and shoot somebody and commit adultery. That Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You couldn't talk like that if that wasn't what you wanted to do. And if that's what you want to do, then you better repent. Now, you know something? I got saved, and since I got saved, I haven't gone through life saying, well, I'm saved, I can go out there and do whatever I want. Now, I've gone through life saying, Lord, that's a wonderful gift you gave me. I sure do thank you for what you gave me. Is there anything I can do for you? You just name it, and I want to do it. I want to do it. Now, in John chapter 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And in John 13, verse number 12, the Bible says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You say, oh, I'd never wash somebody's dirty, smelly feet. Well, that just shows how far we are from being like Jesus. And these people didn't have odorizers in their shoes. They didn't have clean cotton socks either. These were people running around in the dirt wearing sandals. And the Lord Jesus Christ got down on his knees and washed their feet. And he said, I have given you an example. Amen. Not only has Jesus Christ given me salvation and given me eternal life, not only has he given me what I need to get to heaven when I die, but he's given me the example that I need to show me how to live. The example that Jesus Christ left is that no task is too menial. There's no duty that would call upon you to stoop too low. You'll never get low enough. You'll never get humble enough. You'll never see yourself as being unworthy enough. Amen. This is the Lord from glory on his knees washing the feet of some unregenerate men. I mean, they weren't even regenerated yet. Jesus told Peter, after you're converted, speak to your brethren. And Jesus, he's down there washing their feet, the feet of some of the same fellows that he knew were going to leave him and forsake him in the night. And he's down there washing their feet. And he said, I have given you an example. That's not as exciting and hallelujah as giving you eternal life. But you know, if we just humble ourselves and follow his example, it would be. Amen. Do you know why you were not happy before you got saved? Because you were in rebellion against God. Do you know where all these feelings of unhappiness and dissatisfaction come from since you've been saved? Somewhere in your heart, somewhere in your life, there's rebellion against God. If we just follow the example of the Lord Jesus, there would be joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, but you don't know what God's asked me to do. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, speaking of Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith? It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't know what God has asked you to do. It's probably worse than what he's asked me to do. But he hasn't asked you to go to a cross and bear the sins of the whole world. And you know something? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing was set before him, and there was joy set before him. You know why? He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. He found delight in humbling himself and doing the Father's will. And he's given us a gift, the gift of his example, the gift of being shown how to live in this life. That's a wonderful gift. Amen. Look around. What examples does the world offer for you to follow? You go to college and you study psychology and you learn about Sigmund Freud, and he's a fellow, you find out he said all your problems are because of repressed sexual desire, and every problem a man has is a phobia or a latent need to have something in his mouth because of being nursed by his mother. And they're just replacing that with something else. You know what that man, how he died? Cancer of the mouth, because he always had to have a cigar in his mouth. I wouldn't follow him across the street. Who else do people like to follow? They want to follow these movie stars and music idols and all this other stuff. Hey man, if rock and roll is such a great life, how come you got to stay doped up all the time to get through the next concert? So, I want to be a TV star and a movie star and a beauty queen. If you did, you'd be divorced 6 times because they're no happier than an inmate in a prison cell. But you know something? If you find some humble soul that doesn't have a thing in this world but Jesus and the Holy Bible and praising God, you'll see a joy and a happiness and satisfaction you can't find in a mansion or in a palace of a king. Amen. Think about all the national leaders who worked their way up into powerful positions, world leaders, only to be disgraced and kicked out of their country or locked into prison or executed by their own people. Say, boy, I could be a big shot in this world. If you could be a big shot in this world, it might be taken away from you tomorrow. But if you're given the privilege of ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in a place in the kingdom of God, you'll never be deposed. You'll never be overthrown. You'll never be kicked out. Amen. I think it's wonderful what we've been given by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse number 15, John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because they walk by sight and not by faith. You'll never see the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want to speak in tongues so I can see something. Well, this verse right here will tell you that tongues is not the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ said right there, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit if you want to see something. You just better pray about that for a while. In saying that, I didn't knock anybody's church. I just told you something here about John 14, 17. Jesus said, if the world wants to see something, they've not received the Holy Spirit. So whatever it is they're receiving by sight, it was not the Holy Spirit. They want to make baptism the way of salvation. Do you know why? Because they can see somebody get put in the water. Jesus said, it takes my Holy Spirit baptizing you into Jesus Christ. And you can't see that. You can't see that. The world will never get Jesus. They'll never get the Holy Spirit. They'll never get eternal life until they are willing to receive by faith, on the basis of what God said, the gift that God has to give. But you know what he said? He said, if you'll receive my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll give you, and he didn't say the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll give you a comforter. I'll give you a comforter. I like that. Do you know what a comforter is? That's a big warm blanket that you wrap yourself in. Those times when it's cold, so cold that you just can't keep the chill out of your bones. So you just grab that comforter, you get yourself all wrapped up in it, get all warmed up, and as you hold that thing real close to you. You know something, this world is cold. People are cold and they're callous and they're hard and they're indifferent. And you know something, no matter how many people turn away and walk away from you, no matter how many brothers and sisters in Christ that used to fellowship with you turn and won't walk with you anymore, Jesus Christ said, I have given you a comforter. No matter how cold and cruel this old world gets, you can just wrap that comforter around you and you can just stay all warm and cozy and just rest. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I'm cold, I can't get any rest. If my feet are cold at night, I'm tossing, I'm turning, I'm just trying to wrap up, and it's just a stressful thing. But when you're warm, it's just so restful. It's so nice. And the Lord said, I give you a comforter. I give you a comforter. You just get your eyes off the world and get your eyes on Jesus and the gifts that he's given you. And no matter how cold that old world out there gets, you can be warm. You can rest in Jesus Christ. You can be comforted. Amen. The Bible says in Job chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, Job chapter 5, verse 6, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Amen. Do you know what he said? He said, you're going to have trouble. you try to run from it, but you're going to have trouble. Just as sure as you're a man in this world, you're going to have trouble. You know what I'd do? I would seek unto God. Doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. You are going to have trouble. You are going to have heartache. There is going to be misunderstanding. You are going to bury loved ones. You are going to get sick. There's no escaping that. That's part and parcel of belonging to the human race. But I'll tell you something, you don't have to face that alone. God can give you, and if you're saved, he has given you, a comforter that abides with you forever. Amen. Amen. I don't know what God has laid in my pathway. It may be through a death camp or a torture chamber. It may be through a sick bed or a lingering disease. I don't know what I might have to face in this life, but I know one thing. I know I'll be able to walk through it and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I hear all kinds of teaching and speculation about what that rod and that staff is. I know who the comforter is, according to Jesus. I know where the comfort comes from, according to Jesus Christ. It comes from the Holy Spirit that we've been given as a gift. There's a second one in John 14, another gift that's found down there in verse 27. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, the world gives conditionally. The world might give you something today and then take it back tomorrow. The world might give you something that's not any good. The world might give you something and kind of hold it over your head for the next 20 years. Say, hey, do you remember that? You owe me. You owe me one. I got one coming. But not Jesus Christ. When he gives you something, it's without condition. It's yours to keep forever. He'll never bring it up again and never hold it over your head. He gave it to you because he loves you and he was glad to do it and he wanted to do it. But let me show you first that Jesus didn't just say, I give you peace. That would be wonderful enough, right? Don't you agree? But Jesus said, I give you my peace. The Bible says in Philippians that if you'll commit everything to God in prayer, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds by Jesus Christ. Do you know what Jesus has given me? He hasn't just given me peace. He hasn't just given me the power and the ability to work up my own peace. He's given me his peace. Now, let me tell you what I mean there. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. When you get sick, do you think Jesus is worried about it? Okay, think about that. When somebody threatens you, do you think Jesus is scared? When the price of groceries go up and the economy gets shaky and there's war at the door, do you think Jesus is worried about any of that stuff? You know, he's just as calm as can be because he knows everything just is going to be just perfectly fine. He's not the least bit worried or alarmed or upset or afraid. You know what Jesus said? He says, I give you my peace. If we keep our minds stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ and commit everything to God in prayer, you can be just as much at peace walking through this world as Jesus Christ himself is at the right hand of God the Father. That's something, you know that? You know, you can lie down at night and you can think about what the liberal government wants to do to your kids. You can think about what the other countries are that might be plotting against yours. You can think about what the legislature is planning to do to all the churches. You can think about what the devil wants to do. You can think about what the unclean spirits are planning. You can think about what the church members are planning to do behind your back. And you can just worry yourself sick if you do that, you know, or you can take all that stuff and you can lay it at the feet of Jesus and just say, Lord, you see all of this from a better vantage point than I do. You know what you know what to do about it, Lord. I don't. You know how to take care of it. You know how to keep me in the palm of your hand. I'm just asking you for your peace. And the Lord's going to say, I've already given it to you. It's yours. Enjoy it. My peace. He said, not your peace I give you, my peace that I give you. Boy, that's a wonderful gift. A gift from God, you know. It's a blessing. What a blessing. And then in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying. He's praying to his Father. In John chapter 17, look what he says in verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse number 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right, a couple of things that we learn, if you compare verse 8 and 14, it is through the Word of God that we come to know Jesus Christ. It is through the Word of God that we come to bring upon ourselves the hatred of the world. I'll tell you something, though. I would rather have the love of God and the hatred of the world than the love of the world and the hatred of God. How about you? I'll take the first one of those anytime. But Jesus Christ said, I have given them God's words. I've given them thy word. Well, I tell you, that's a wonderful thing there. It's not only wonderful to know, but back there in John chapter 17, Jesus gave that first generation of the Christian church the words of God. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible says, where Peter wrote it down, that the word of God is the incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know something? I have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ the very words of God. That's a wonderful gift. You know that? You know, I've read all kinds of books, commentaries, devotionals, biographies, pamphlets, tracts, newsletters, Christian textbooks, and Christian novels. But you know something? I've got God's words. I've got God's words right here. And see, the thing is, you can get all kinds of interesting Bible truths from Christian authors, but you're also going to find in those writings a lot of things that are wrong. The more you study the Bible, the more wrong you'll find. You know, things that just don't hold true to God's word in those writings, those Christian writings. Things that you might cross out, you might highlight and make notes of correction in that book or something. And you wouldn't give those books to anybody and encourage them to read them either. But you know something? There's not a man on the face of this earth that I couldn't, with a clear conscience, hand them a copy of this old King James Bible. They can read anything they want. They can open it, and anywhere and read it. Any verse, any chapter, any book, from cover to cover, they can read every word of this book. And you can still just put your feet down, stand right on it until the day you die. This is God's word. It's a wonderful gift to be given, the word of God. Then there's one more, John chapter 17, verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Okay, that's me. Jesus is praying for me right there. He says in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I'll be honest with you, I don't really understand it. I confess to you, I honestly don't understand. But Jesus said, he said me. I'm one of those who believed the apostles that he sent out, so that applies to me. Jesus said he's given me the same glory that the Father gave him. I don't know what that means. All I know is that Jesus prayed to his Father in verse number 5 of this same chapter, and he said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." All right, well, God gave him the grace to lay down his life for others and then raise them from the dead. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm not sure that that's not, I'm not sure that's all included there, but Jesus Christ has given me the same glory that he got from his Father. Well, just think about it for a minute. Now, do you see what God's word does? I don't know why the devil deceives people when they're not reading their Bible every day. I don't know why they let him deceive you that way. But in about 45 short minutes, you have forgotten all the stuff that you were bothered about and worried about before you came here. What did that? It certainly wasn't great preaching. It was great words about great gifts from a great God. So let me just go over these gifts. He's given us living water, his flesh, his life, eternal life, his example, the comforter, his peace, his word, his glory. Aren't those wonderful gifts? Isn't that better than anything the world could ever give you? You know, whatever it is that came between you and reading your Bible today, if you didn't read it today, the devil tricked you and deceived you, and you lost reading your Bible today, if you didn't read it today. but you lost out. Maybe it was 2 days. Maybe it was 3 days. Maybe it's been a whole week since you read this Bible. But you know, just a few short minutes this afternoon in the Bible has worked wonders, hasn't it? On our hearts and our minds. And all that other stuff you read, look what it did to you. It got you all torn up and nervous and worried and troubled. Oh, we ought to be in this Bible as much as we can, every spare minute that we've got. You say, well, I don't have many minutes to spare. Make some. And this word of God, it'll bless your heart and it'll thrill your soul. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for reminding us of the wonderful gifts that we've received from Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us instruction on how to live. You've shown us how to live by example. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might be of use to you, that we might be a blessing to others, that we might be able to lead others to our wonderful Savior, that they might receive these wonderful gifts. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be in your word, which was also a gift to us. Help us, Lord, not to neglect that gift so that we can find out what your example is and live accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.